The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
That's what we're going to do this morning. How many of you are here? Last month, miracle service. Let me see. You are here. You know you are here. Last month, miracle service. Raise your hand very well. I want to see. There's January. Last Sunday in January. Okay. How many of you, since this year started, you've had to believe God for a miracle in this place? Right? And we prayed, and God answered. God came through. A healing, a deliverance, provision, breakthrough between now and the last, since this year started, 2 months now. Do you have such testimonies? Now we're going to do something. I want you to take a minute and share one of those testimonies with someone by your side. A testimony, something that has happened, you believe God for a miracle in this place, for yourself, over your health, over your finance. And the Lord came through. You believe God for a miracle, provision, a healing, and you received a miracle, a contract, a job, because God's word came forth here. And you can remember what is happening, that as you are sharing that testimony, it's not just for you, it's for that person. Just do that.
You were crucified, left behind the stone. You lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose.
Share with your neighbor, because this morning is another miracle service. It's another miracle service this morning.
You took the fall.
So get set for something else is coming in the next few minutes. Yes. Sing crucified, sing like that.
Crucified, left behind the storm. You live to die, rejected and alone, like a rose, trampled on the ground. You too.
Crucified,
crucified, left behind the storm. You lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose, trampled on the ground. You took the fall.
Your neighbor shared a testimony concerning a healing this morning. Healing. How many of you, a testimony of provision? How many of you, a testimony of intervention? How many of your neighbor talked to you about a job that he or she got? Contract and all of that. This morning, the atmosphere is open for anything that you're expecting. I'll give you a minute or two to pray. Whatever you believe that the anointing of God upon this house can walk out. Take a minute or two and pray. After that, I will pray. Power this mic. Let it sound better. Sheba Radi Shata. There's no drama around it this morning. Because I sense that the angels of God are ready to take orders this morning. Whatever it is.
Chia ujira kanabo. Mere mi omae. Aga mewera kanabo. Nye ya ekele. Chia ujira kanabo. Mere mi omae. Aga mewera kanabo. Wenye ya.
Pray. I just don't join me. Just pray. Make your request for the Lord this morning. There's a portion that the Lord gives every member of a church in the grace He has put upon their pastor. You will get your portion for this month, for next month, this morning. So just pray.
Jao jira kanabo mere mi omae. Aga mewera kanabo. Yeyo ekele. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
How great is our God. Oh, sing with me, how great. Is our God, oh, we sing, how great, is our God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We sing, how great, is our God, oh, sing with me, how great. My God is our God. Oh, we sing how great and how great is our God. You are the name above all names, and you are worthy. I praise. And my voice will sing, how great is our God. Ooh. You are the name above all names. You are worthy of our praise, and our hearts will sing, how great is our God. Woo. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Make sure you're praying. I'll give you 30 more seconds. I can hear your prayer points. Some of you, actually, not everybody, but at least some of you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Just thank, just pray this morning.
Woo. And our hearts will sing, how great is our God. And I've seen the, I've gazed upon your power. You can do it. more than my mind can comprehend. And I've seen the lame man walk, and I've seen you do wonders. Your unfailing love is more than life itself. I've seen your mighty works and gazed upon your power. You can do more than my mind can comprehend. And I've seen the lame man walk, and I've seen you do wonders. Your unfailing love is more than life itself. I've seen your mighty works, sing, and gazed upon
your power.
Like that.
You can do more than my mind can comprehend. I've seen the lame man walk. I've seen you do wonders. Your failing love is more
just
than
life. Just like that. I've seen your mighty works.
I've seen your mighty works and gazed upon your power. You can do more than my mind can comprehend. I've seen the lame man walk. I've seen you do wonders. Your failing love.
I don't pray you, just sing with us. I've seen your mighty works.
I've seen your mighty
works. I've gazed upon your power.
Gaze upon your power. You can do more than my mind can comprehend. I've seen the lame man walk. I've seen you do wonders.
Yeah.
You're
more time singing up. I've seen your mighty works.
I've seen your mighty works and gazed upon your power. You can do more than my mind can comprehend. I've seen the lame man walk. I've seen you do wonders. Your failing love.
Recount that again. I've seen your mighty works.
I've seen your mighty works.
Think about those things.
And gazed upon your power. You can do more than my mind can comprehend. I've seen the lame man walk. I've seen you do wonders. Your failing love is more than.
We sing
glory to Jesus, glory to Jesus, wonderful God you are. You have answered our prayers, even our victory.
It's a simple song now. Sing one more time. So we sing
glory to Jesus.
Wonderful God you are.
Wonderful God you are.
You have answered our prayers. Last time now. Hey, like you know what you just said now. Say, we sing
glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Wonderful God you are. You have answered our prayers. Given us victory. Glory.
What you asked for is now your reality. You believed God for a healing. I believed God with you too before I came here. So I declare healing in your body. Healing in your body. Healing in your body. Healing in your body. Pains disappearing. Doctors' reports that have come out as negative or as positive will now turn to negative. In the name of Jesus. Healing over your mind. In the name of Jesus. I'm asking and believing this morning, you enjoy divine intervention. Enjoy divine interventions. In the name of Jesus. I heard the Lord say that this has been in my spirit for like 3 days now, and I don't know who that word is for. But you or your relative shall not sleep the sleep of death. You shall not sleep the sleep of death. It's been in my heart for like 3 days now, and I feel the Lord saying I should talk about it. That is Psalm 13 verse 3. You shall not sleep the sleep of death. What it means is that while you are asleep, the plans of the enemy shall not prevail over your life. In the name of Jesus, we declare divine preservation, divine preservation, divine exemption. In the name of Jesus, may jobs be given. May contracts be given. May God's goodness overwhelm you. May God's goodness overwhelm you. May jobs overwhelm you. May contracts overwhelm you. In the name of Jesus. And many of us are at the point where there is need for divine ideas. May those ideas be delivered now. Everyone that has a property that has to be sold, or goods that have to be sold in your store that have not sold for long, in the next 2 weeks, we declare sold out at the best prices. In the name of Jesus, may angels cause these things to happen. May angels walk around, make these things come to pass. Let there be a rush on those properties now. Let there be a rush on those goods and services now. In the name of Jesus. Where you need interventions, may God intervene now. Whatever that has to do with a courtroom and you and your family, that matter is turned in your favor now. For God does not approve subverting a man in his course. So that issue is turned in your favor now. In the name of Jesus. The Lord will not allow the enemy to rejoice over you or your household. And as I prayed on Thursday, the Lord is bringing that prayer strongly in my heart. Our kids are preserved. Every child connected to this ministry is preserved by the mighty hand of God. We speak over expecting moms and pregnant moms in this place. The mighty hand of God preserves you. In the name of Jesus, we shall no longer hear, at least from now to the end of this year, we shall no longer hear news of miscarrying mothers. In the name of Jesus, we bring that cycle to a close now. And expecting mothers begin to receive your babies from now. In the name of Jesus, we open the doors for many dedications this year of babies. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we receive many marriages. Supernatural marriages. In the name of Jesus. May connections that have to be made now. May interventions that have to happen, happen now. May doors that have to open, open now. May doors that have to close, close now. In the name of Jesus, may healings abound, supplies abound, deliverances abound, interventions abound, debts cleared. In the name of Jesus, may you have enough in this new month in your hands to do that which your heart has conceived. May you have enough in this new month we are getting into enough from this week to do that which your heart has conceived. Because I heard the Lord said, your heart has been indicting a good matter. May your hands carry the resources to make those things possible. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We rebuke the devil over households. We rebuke the devil over lives here. We rebuke the devil over our kids, over our children, over our career, over our health. Thou foul devil, take your hands off now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Even issues that came up because of mistakes, may the mercy of the Lord prevail now. May the mercy of the Lord prevail now. In this new month, I'm asking for new things over this congregation. I'm asking for new jobs, new contracts, new clients, new testimonies, new pregnancies, new relationships, new jobs, new testimonies, new houses, new properties. In the name of Jesus, we shall enjoy new things. We shall enjoy new things. We shall enjoy new things. In the month of March, new supplies, new clients, new supplies, new clients, new testimonies, new jobs, new contracts, fresh doors opening up. And the Lord said, I should say, they will not come as a replacement of the former. They shall come as an addition. So I'm saying, in the month of March, may money meet money in your hands. May contract meet contracts in your hands. May jobs meet jobs in your hands. May millions meet millions in your hands. One shall not be finished before another one begins. For here the Lord, he says, from now, the latter rain shall overlap with the former rain. In the name of Jesus, new things. New things. And that's God's word for the month of March. It shall be a month of new things. New jobs, new contracts, new opportunities, new relationships, new things. And they are coming brand new by the word of the Lord. Over your life, over your ministry, over your job, over your career. These things are coming new. In the name of Jesus. Oh yes. Thank you, Lord. Lift your hands and thank him this morning. Thank him with your voice lifted high. If you believe those things. For some of you have been waiting for some old opportunities. The Lord said, not only will those ones work out, new ones are opening up. Thank him this morning. Woo! Play this song for me. Just thank him. We say, Jesus, my Lord. I am. Yes.
Despite all of my flaws, you still love me so. Jesus, Jesus, my love.
Do you remember that song? Let's worship this one. That's why I'm closing. Sing it out.
Jesus, my love.
I am captivated by the love that you gave. Despite all of my flaws,
despite all of my
you still love me so now.
You love me so, Jesus, Jesus.
Let's do three more times. Somebody say, Jesus,
Jesus.
Come on.
I am captive.
say Jesus. Everybody say Jesus,
Jesus, my love.
I am captivated, sing.
I am captivated by the love that you give. Despite all of my flaws,
you still love me so.
Jesus, Jesus.
Of it is your testimony that he has loved us. That love is the basis upon which we are expecting new things next month. And many of you heard the Lord say there shall be new opportunities. And I heard the Lord clearly on this matter. He said new clients plus the old ones, new ones. You will find people chat you up from places you didn't expect. You will find people from places you never expected. New jobs, new opportunities, new ideas, new business ideas shall come. Some believe for new things. Hallelujah. And it's going to come to you. You will return with your testimonies.
So I'm going to ask you today, before we close and even within this week, send in your testimonies. Both from these prayers and things that, you know, for like 1 month, we're not taking testimonies. We're taking our mission reports. But God is doing so much in our midst. And you shall testify. So what new thing are you expecting next month? A new car. A new gadget. A new job. A new opportunity. A new contract. A new relationship. A new connection. A new opportunity. May the Lord satisfy the desires of your heart. In the name of Jesus. And by the words of God's prophets, it is established. And when I come to you in the capacity of a prophet, these words cannot fail. And they are going, God is going to watch over them to see that they come to pass. We don't have all the time on Sunday services to start picking people out and calling out their cases. But by these prayers we've made, whatever you came here with, God has gone ahead of you. In the name of Jesus. Do you believe that? Let's shout and give him praise this morning. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Before we sit, let's do that song like 3 more times. You know it, right? Sing it, come on.
I am captivated by the love that you gave.
Yes.
Despite all of my flaws, still you love me so. Jesus, Jesus, my love.
Everybody, Jesus, oh,
Jesus.
Yes, 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 yes.
I am captivated by the love that you gave. Despite all of my flaws, still you love me so. Jesus, Jesus, my love.
One more time. Everybody, Jesus, oh,
Jesus.
Here we walk into the office this week and they will make you new offers. Yes. Instead of losing the job, they will make you a new offer. A better one.
That's what the Lord said. Are you sure God has loved you this morning? I grateful to God. You know this song we just did now? It's one of our songs here. That's why if you look for it, I cannot find it anywhere. And I've said it before, we are getting very close to the days we begin to record these songs and send them out. I was talking with some of the ministers, some of the people yesterday. I told them, maybe we'll just give the expression, maybe a studio in this place. Yes, we're going to do that. Say amen. Yes. Give them just a minute, just for now, just a studio where they can produce their songs. And yeah, we'll do that. It's not even hard. Praise God. Yes, on one of the floors behind it, we'll create just a mini studio for them so they can produce their songs. Hallelujah. Because these songs are blessed. They're powerful. It's not just about producing it so that we are singing. Some of them have to be preserved for the next generation. Hallelujah. Yeah, I think this song, this particular one came, I think 2 years ago, so when I was doing a teaching too on supernatural love or something like that. I was teaching the love of God. So this song came. So these are powerful songs. Born from God's word and understanding of God's word. Hallelujah. So we have to record many of them. And especially as a book of songs. How many songs people have there now? Is it up to 10? Is it up to 50? Now they have, I think, over 50 of them, Abby, in the book of songs, all written and gotten here. So very soon they will be recorded and the world will hear them. Hallelujah. So this is another powerful one. Glory to God. Let's sing one more time. Yes.
I am captivated by the love that you gave. Despite all of my flaws, still you love me so. Jesus,
two more times now. Everybody, Jesus. Time now. Everybody, Jesus, oh,
Jesus, my love. I am captivated by the love that you gave. Despite all of my flaws, still you love me so. Jesus, Jesus.
Sing it this week, throughout this week. God has loved us so much. Hallelujah. We are grateful to Him this morning. Amen. So welcome your neighbor to the last Sunday in February before you have your seat this morning. Warmly, last Sunday in February. God is amazing. Amen. All other centers are joined to this service. And so we're going to have a good time this morning. Amen. We've been on the teaching on the love of God. What manner of love? And, you know, what I would say, you know, I think the Lord just put this in my heart very strongly. I've said it before, I just feel I should say it again. People in other centers, one of the habits that you must cultivate is that in addition to learning in your centers and the amazing teachings that your pastor is doing, and the series that are running, one of the things you should also do is to listen, go on YouTube and listen to whatever we are doing here. Yes, it gets all of us moving together, right? Listen to it. Put it as part of your routine within the week, that at least the message taught on Sunday before Thursday, apart from listening to what your pastor has taught you, you should listen to it. And on Thursday too, before Sunday, you listen to it. Hallelujah. It just keeps you flowing. It keeps you flowing. It's one of the routines you must carry. I've told our pastors to have that same routine. They have that same instruction. At the end of every service, all pastors from other centers that are expected to listen to the teaching I did on that Sunday. I get the point. That's how you ensure that you're just flowing. People in the Exalted Kids, for instance, That's the teachers handling the kids. They have the same instruction. After every service, they are to go through this service now. Are you following? And listen to it. And once in a while, I've told them, once in a while, I request for their notes to see that they've been following. So that we can all be carried along. You know, one of the things God doesn't want to do, God does not want to use you and waste you. Are you what I'm saying now? He wants to make you better and then use you. That's why I don't believe that, you know, sometimes I go to ministries and I see those things are born out of good purposes. You see people, maybe there is a 5 days conference, and for the whole 5 days, they are maybe in the kitchen. I get the point. Cooking throughout. And there is no plan for them to get blessed. If you ever find yourself in that kind of situation, I tell you what you are going to do. After each session, make sure you go through everything that was taught. If not, all you will just be will be someone that helped others get blessed, but you are not blessed. Are you following the point? I have a routine too as a pastor that I have to listen to the teachings that my spiritual father is doing every month, every Sunday. Because that's where I feed. Because when I teach you, I get blessed. But I'm not primarily feeding from what I'm teaching you. I get the point. My own personal feeding comes from my spiritual father's pot. Are you following the point? So we should have that culture. We should have that culture. If we create a security department here, that will warrant that you are outside, or traffic control team controlling cars, doing whatever. If that ever happens, I don't even know how that's going to happen. I don't know how we can let you miss service, but you know, needs can come up. There could be a need for it. And if that need ever comes up, once you are done from your duty post, if you get back, get on the message. I get the point. Because the point is, if you are doing ministry, serving the Lord, and you are not feeding from Him, you will get exhausted very soon. Ministry is exhausting. Are you following the point? Very, very exhausting. You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I was telling the person about people who, there are people, let me give an example. There are people I know, many people who I can call, that have left the shores of this country to other countries, European countries, and when they were living sincerely for the purpose of missions. They want to go and propagate the gospel in those places. And that's why they left. Some of them left well-paying jobs here to go to the UK or to other countries to do ministry. Many of them have settled into those countries, not doing any ministry. They're busy working, doing cab services, trying to earn a living. So the question is, how come someone was so passionate for the Lord that he had to relocate for his country for that same purpose and now gets to that country? Are you following the point? And then they stopped doing the ministry. The reason is because when they traveled, they stopped feeding. There was no source of feeding. There was no source of renewal. So you went there to do the work of God. So what's going to happen is, if you preach the first 3-4 weeks and nobody gets born again, you will get tired. I get what I'm saying. That's why everybody must have a constant system of feeding. That's why after we teach you on Sunday, we still say things like, there's a message for the week that you listen to. There is a book of the month that you read. Those things are things that renew your strength. So that as you are doing the work of the Lord, you don't run out of gas. Are you following me now? Are you still here? So that's very important. So this morning, I'm continuing the teaching on what manner of love. Of course, if you're joining us for the first time today, you will be able to understand what I'm sharing today. But it will be good, like I'm saying, that you refer back to other parts of this teaching. Amen. So I've been teaching, and there's something I've been doing for long. I just want to call your attention to it. I've been trying to show you that God loves us so much, and then there is a way we must posture ourselves towards that love. 1 John 3 verse 1 tells us, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Now, that's a reality. He loves us unconditionally. He loves us without any reservation and all of that. Now, there is a way we must posture and we must respond to that love. And I've been addressing that from day one. Because God loves you is constant. It cannot change. But if you do not know how to respond to that love, you will not enjoy the privileges and the benefits of that love He has shown you. I give an example. God loves every sinner. Even the unbeliever, the thief, the wicked man, God loves them. But if they've not learned how to respond to the love of God, for instance, what is the basic way a sinner should respond to God's love? He should believe the gospel. Are you getting the point? So if he doesn't respond the right way, even though God loves him, he will not reap the privilege of God's love, which is salvation. Are you still here, everybody? Yes. So there is a blessing that comes from the love of God. But then you have to know how to respond to that love to be able to enjoy the blessings that come from that. That's what I've been doing all the while. For the times I've taught you, I've mentioned like 5 or 6 of them. I'll just refresh your mind today so that you remember before I get to. I'm not teaching for long today. Hopefully. Amen. So I've tried to remind you. For instance, one of the major ways you respond to the love of God, I'll give you a list. And as I'm giving you the list, you will know that I've taught on all of this before in this series. One of the ways to respond to the love of God is that you have to at least know that he loves you. You have to dig in and get knowledge of that love. That's the first thing. So it's not just to hear, God loves me. You need to keep studying. Paul in Ephesians 3 verse 17 prayed for us that we may know the length of his love, the depth of his love, the breadth of his love, the height of his love. So that tells you the first thing a believer should do about the love of God, that you should know it. That calls for study. That calls for learning God's word, to learn how much he has loved you. And I've taken time to show you that if you know how much God has loved you, it will change your life. That's why the first thing this teaching should produce in you should be a desire to know more about the love of God. That's the first thing it should produce. A desire to study further about his love. To get to know it better. To know the depth of it. In fact, Ephesians 3:17, let's read it together. Once you find it, I'll wait for you. Ephesians 3 verse 17. We'll read verse 17 and we'll read verse 18. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Did you leave your voice at home? Hallelujah. Your voice is still in the old venue. I say hallelujah. Okay. We are coming. Not there yet. Just got to CPS. But stop. So, Ephesians 3:17, are you there? Let's read together, everybody. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is what? The breadth, the length, the depth, and height, and to know the love of God, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled. So it tells you that you really need to know. So the first thing this teaching should produce, you should desire to know. So Paul says it has length, it has depth, it has breadth, it has height. So it's not just about, I've heard that God, who doesn't know that God loves you? Everybody knows that. No, that's not the point. It's so deep. In fact, after Paul talked about the length, the height, the depth, and all of that, he went to verse 19 to say, it is beyond knowledge. In other words, it's not something you can even know fully. In other words, if you dedicate your entire lifetime to learning about the love of God, you will still die and you've not gotten to the fullness of how much he has loved us. Are you feel what I'm saying? That love is so deep, so wide, so high. And I like to put it this way. It's so high. It's so deep that it can get to the deepest part of hell to pluck anything out. It's so wide that it can reach everybody. I get what I'm saying now. And it's so high that it can go to any height at any length to reach anybody. That's the love of God. And no matter how much we teach it, it gets clearer every day. But there is so much to know about it. So God loves us. The first thing you do with that information is that it should push you to learn more about it. To know it again and again. To know it better. To study it again. Not just when pastor is doing the teaching. Learn the love of God. And one of the easiest ways to begin to learn the love of God, I can tell you, is to begin to study the epistles. Romans, Ephesians, Galatians. Because they talk about what God has done for us in Christ. You are actually learning God's love. Are you getting the point? Are you following me? Because one of the major way that God showed his love for us is by his death on the cross. So as we are learning what he has done for us in his death and resurrection, we are learning his love. So that's the first thing you do. Know the love of God and keep knowing it. What else do you do with the knowledge of that, with what we are sharing? Number 2, speak the love of God. Don't just know it, speak it. What I mean is, when you know that God has loved you, put it in your confession. Learn to confess and say to yourself, I'm loved of God. I get the point. Learn to say it. And it's a very powerful stuff. Don't put it, one, in your confession and in your conversations. I've said it again. Put it in your confession. In other words, when you have your times of confession in the day, learn to always remind yourself, hey, Henry, you are loved of God. God loves you. He can go to any lengths to get you, and he's there for you. Learn to say that to yourself every day. Because when you keep saying that, it brings you into much more awareness of it. Then add it to your conversation as you are conversing with people. Learn to say to them, well, I'm loved of God. Are you getting the point? Remember I told you about John the Beloved last Sunday, right? How that John, the apostle, was the only one that referred to himself in the whole Bible as the disciple that Jesus loved. And that's a good way to talk to yourself. In John chapter 19 verse 26, he referred to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. In John 20 verse 2, he referred to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. In John 21 verse 7, he referred to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. In John 21 verse 20, so 4 times in the book of John, he writes about himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. Are you following the point? And so hear this. The disciple that Jesus loved was not a title given to John by the disciples. It was a title he gave to himself by himself. Are you following me this morning? So he has understood the love of God, and then when he writes about himself in the book of John, like he wrote a book about Jesus. When he writes about himself in that book, he doesn't call himself John. He calls himself the disciple that Jesus loved. Are you following me? He speaks about, you know, how God has loved him personally. He spoke about it a lot. He kept saying it. He kept saying it. So you must put it on your lips. Learn to say to yourself, I'm the beloved of the Father. The same way that God has loved Jesus, he has loved me the same way. The same love God has for Jesus, he has for me. Yes. Don't just hear it. Learn it and say it to yourself. Now, there are certain things a believer should say to himself a lot. This is one of them. Say, he loves me. Shout it. Tell it to your neighbor. You didn't hear. Tell it to your neighbor. Are you ashamed of? Are you afraid? Many of us don't like talking about love. We've been through a lot in the world of love. Now, this is not that love. Just God loves you. Do you know he loves you? And some of you, you may not know it to the level you have to know it until you begin to say it a lot. Yes. Say it to yourself. In your room. I've had to help a lot of people. If I let me teach you this. This is one of the greatest ways to heal from emotional trauma. If I deal with an emotional trauma, write a confession that talks about how much God has loved you. Say it in the morning. Say it in the night. I give you, the worst it can get is 21 days. You are totally free. Yes. Because there is something knowledge of God's love. You know, most emotional traumas stem from either rejection. I get what I'm saying. Rejection. What else? Depression. Are you following the point? That's the root of all those things. When you know how much God has loved you, he replaces those things. How many of you have found out? Let me give you an example. How many of you have found out that, how many of you, you are not going to answer, but I'm just going to ask my question. Have you ever been heartbroken in your life? A guy or a lady broke your heart, shattered it, pieces it. Amen. Like this video. Say tiko mo bume tiko. I miss that video. I'm going to break ne tiko ne tiko. Like if your heart has ever been broken like that, there is something people do. It's not the best, but it's not the best, but it works. But it's not the best. You find out that when your heart has been broken, if for any reason, now that's wrong because it's wickedness. But I'm just saying this. If for any reason you get into another relationship very quickly, somehow it kind of suits the pain of the other one. Now, it's not the best thing to do. You know why it's not the best? Because you've not really healed from that one. But I'm just trying to show you how that another lover can make you forget the pain of what a previous lover has done. So that's why if someone's heart has been broken, if he begins to grow in the understanding of the love of Jesus, it will shut down that emotional trauma he's going through. Because he will get to realize, well, God loves me. That's why when people do that, maybe their heart is broken, and as they're mourning, another friend comes in and begins to show them love. Gradually, that love, it begins to replace whatever they felt from the other relationship. The only problem is that most times it's temporary because you've not really healed. But this is the love of Jesus. It's constant. I get the point. So instead of trying to find that suiting in another relationship or another love, find it in the love of Jesus. So how do we do that? Just when you are going through emotional tough times, just begin to talk about the love of Jesus. Begin to speak it over yourself. If you think it's not working, don't bother about how it works. Now the problem is that when we give you spiritual instructions, you are trying to think of how it will work with your head. How many of you can explain how paracetamol works? If you're not a doctor here, you can't try it. Or a nurse. But you just know that if you take it, it works. So when I tell you, speak about love of Jesus to heal, don't ask me how. Just take it as you take your medication. When I say speak, when you speak, call first money. Money will come. People will say how. Do you know how paracetamol works? Are you getting the point? These are principles. You act on it, it works. When you meditate on the love of Jesus and speak of it a lot, it deals with all those emotional baggages you carry from home. From home. Just wake up every day. I'm about to help someone like this. This lady was full of hatred for the parents, for the dad and the mom. And sometimes I would say the parents contributed to it. Excuse me. Because they were so, not wicked, they were trying to discipline the child. But they were tough. You know these children that their parents can beat with pots, with mortar, with, you know, that kind of parenting. That's not discipline. No. You know, on Thursday I told you, the foundation of discipline is love. Right? And I don't know how you can love someone and pour hot water. So she has hated and she became, you know, hatred can make you stubborn. So she has become stubborn. She will tell her parents to her face, I will not do what you want me to do. And they will say, you will not eat in this house. She will say, go with your food. 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. One day the mother called me and said, this girl is mean. For the past 1 week, she has not eaten her food in this house. You know, that kind of tough. I don't know. I think she used to go and eat somewhere because nothing won't tell me. But you know, that kind of wicked, that kind of hatred. So when she came around, when one of those days she had run away again, she used to run away from the house regularly, just step out, come back after 4 days. So it has happened yet again. And they were calling, they weren't getting her. So they reached out to us. So I got her to the house. And she was speaking with so much pain and hatred. And I didn't know how to tell her. Because if I start telling her, I couldn't prove to her that her parents love her. I didn't get the point. I know the parents love her. But I couldn't prove it. I don't think people hate their children. Do people hate their children? I don't think people hate their children. People do not just know how to show love to their children. Yeah, for real. If you have ever fathered or mothered a child, it's difficult to hate that child. Just that Africans, we don't know how to show love or how to receive it. We don't know anyone. Do you understand? So sometimes they are dealing with us. Say, well, do it for your own good. Tomorrow night you'll be enjoying. That's the best they know. Because you can't tell me they hate that child. Because they were still providing basic stuff for her. So that, you know, some parents think that how to show love to your child is to provide basic things. Pay her school fees, buy her food, buy her clothes. That's not true. And I'm going to say this. I don't know why God is bringing this. Parents should normalize. Even as your kids grow, look at your kids in the face and saying, Daddy loves you. If nobody told you that when you were growing up, correct that pattern. Are you following what I'm saying? Correct it. I know it's safe in your mouth to say, I love you. Say, which kind of rubbish be that one? Baba, I can carry food and eat if you want to. But they need to hear it. They need to hear it. As in, There is nothing. Stop being a warrior in your house. Learn to say, oh, daddy loves you. You know I care about you. You know I will always come through. Say those things. Many kids grew up in African homes lacking verbal affirmations. And even till now, it's still affecting you. Because if I tell your neighbor to tell you I love you, you say I love you, say which one? But if I talk another thing, which one is I love you is what? Because you don't even know how to read. You don't know how to give. You don't know how to take. So the only time Africans begin to learn how to say I love you is when they're in relationships. And eventually when they get married, they stop saying it. Because it's not just, but you must learn. The Lord just will help you. So learn to look at your child, your even brothers, learn to tell your male children that you love them. I think that men lack affirmation the most. It's easy to affirm a lady than to affirm a man. And I'm talking to wives now. Men lack, they act like they don't need it, but they do. Are you getting the point? You finish dressing your husband, say, ah, babe, you're looking so nice today. Now, if your husband can say that to you, you should be able to say that too. It's not when they say, I'm looking, I say, you too. Mm-mm. It's not you too. Now, if your husband is leaving the house, then you say, ah, ah, wow. I carry, I go market, sha. Those things he used to say to you, say it. He said, what do you mean? He said, ah, you think if I'm not fine like this, I would have married you. Learn to say those things, all those affirmations. Because men are not affirmed at all. Nobody tells them they love them. Even their fellow guys. If you feel bad and you are crying, say, guy, be a man. be a man is love. Papa, be a man. Be strong. Why do you like woman? Be a man. Glory to God. I learned to enjoy it, learned to affirm. And that's why I feel the love of just changes us. Because God tells us, you know how many times God told us he loved us in his word? Many times. Just that you don't understand it because you read it with King James English. By NLT, it's so clear. He said it many times. King James said, thou art accepted in the beloved. No, the right thing in that place is that the same way Christ the beloved is loved. That's how I've loved you too. So by simple one, I get what I'm saying. Call you what you are. Don't say I'm accepted in the beloved. Don't even know what you're saying. Say God loves me. So that lady, back to that story, that was going through that kind of African setting, feeling so bitter and all of that. So I made her write a confession about the love of God, how God has loved her, and how she's full of love, and how she, in response to that, she's full of love and forgiveness. She read it, and that was a part of the confession that began to say, because God has loved me so much, I love my mom, I love my parents. She just said, this is not true. There's no point. We're lying to ourselves. But I made her write it, and she pasted it on her bed. I said, when you wake up every morning, look at it and speak it to yourself. I said, take it like medication. She said, I don't think it works. I said, that's the point. There are many medications the doctor gives you that you don't think it will work, but they eventually work. Now, I'm your doctor now. Your love doctor. Take this one. And eventually, she kept making that confession, and that thing broke that hate. Like, broke it, shattered it. You wouldn't believe it's the same lady. Because if she didn't heal from that, she would have just thought she's hurting against her parents. But she will carry that in into every other relationship that she gets into. She will not be able to understand love, interpret it, accept it. That's why they're trying to love you too hard. They're trying to love you, cannot be loved. They're saying, I love you, you are too... love, no, they pass your chest. Or God, learn the love of Jesus. Are you following what I'm saying? Say amen. That's why even simple compliments they give you, you try to wave it aside. They say, this your shirt is fine. They say, it's not my own, no. We don't need that information. Praise God. I said, this your shoe is fine. I said, this shoe. Ha. The problem, something in you just pushes love. Anything that looks love, anything, you're a preacher of war, you know. Anything that looks like love, you just reject it. So begin to say to yourself that God loves you. Learn to say it to yourself until it enters you. It will break all those emotional things you are carrying. During our couples classic, I told each couple to write their partner a poem and to say it to their partners. And I know why I said they should say it. Many of us, we don't know how to show love, so we hide behind WhatsApp keyboard to just type it because we can't say it. You know what I'm saying? That's why I said don't write. Well, even people that their husbands are not there and their wives are not there, I said, don't write it and send to them. Say it to them. Hello, baby, since the day I met you. Then say it. And that's why it's hard. You don't even, and that's why if I tell you, I want you, what are they doing to me like this? So let you say to yourself, say, God loves me. Do you know how many times it appeared in this Bible? It will change your life. Oh, I'm telling you. To say to yourself, God loves me. He died for me on the cross. He paid for my sins. I'm accepted. He loves me. I'm not rejected. Say it until he can break that in. So they can be able to look at your kids too and say, you know, daddy loves you. Daddy loves you. You know, I got a testimony last two Sundays. Was it last Sunday or so? That I talked about fathers and forgiveness. Was it last Sunday? Somebody sent me a note. She said, him with the father had fallen out. Of course, the father was not, he's still here following the service today. Father was not anything. He was not even changing. You know, you grow up meeting your father, beat your mom, doesn't provide for you guys, and then that total hatred. And then, he told me, so when they were younger, he used to fight the man. Practically. But you know the love of God, as he said, for the first time on that Sunday, he called the man for the first time in over 20-something years of his life. 29 or 30. He called the man and they talked. And he said, well, daddy, you know, I love you. And the man responded. He said he was emotional. I think the man even started crying. You know, the point is, we always think that we don't need love. But we need it all. Are you following what I'm saying? And that's what the love of Jesus can do. It can break all the emotional baggages that you are carrying and set you free. You are free like a bird. I get to the point. Human love cannot do that because human love is fickle. It can vanish. Someone can love you today and hate you next year. But there's a love of God that is constant. I get to the point. Keep growing in it. Keep telling it to yourself. Keep speaking about it. That God loves me. If you don't know what to do, make a confession out of it. So how do I do that? Get to our 5th day of declaring God's word. There are days that we 2 times to declare about the love of God. That document, we have a document called 50 days of declaring God's word. It's free. So if you're on our Telegram channel, if you're not there, get to our Telegram channel. The document is there. If it's not there, they should post it again. It's on the website too. There are days that we took time to declare about the love of God. Say it to yourself. God loves me. He accepts me. I'm accepted to be loved. God loves me. He cares for me. Say it. Say it. You're not a Hokagan. You should be able to receive the love of God. Keep it in your conversations. Learn to tell people, you know, God loves me. God accepts me. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, the point is, the reason you are growing in hate and in bitterness is because you are talking about it too much. Think of it. Since you got heartbroken, you've spoken to everybody around your life about how that guy broke. That guy, men, wicked. Men, heartless. When you see snake and see a man, preserve the snake, kill the man. You have grown, you keep talking about it. You keep talking about it. Now you've said it to everybody. The more you are talking about it, that hurt is getting deeper. Now God has loved you, you are not talking about it. And because you're not talking about it, our life travels in the direction of our words. So because you're not talking about that love, you're not getting deeper and deeper in it. Now you're talking about hate, you're talking about rejection, you're talking about wickedness, you're talking about what they've done to you. That is what will become most prominent in your life and in your mind. Is not following me this morning at all? Talk about the love of God. Talk to yourself about it. Talk to your friends about how God, not how God has loved them, how God has loved you. Let you say of yourself, I'm loved of the Lord. No, when we are having conversations and they say, you know what, there's this job. I don't know. There are 5 people. They need only 5 people and they're over 1,000. Tell them, I know I'm going to get. Say, why? It's because God loves me. And they will say, now only you got love, as you can see. Are you getting the point? Let's talk about it. Don't just know it in your heart. Say it. So that's the second way to respond to the love of God. First way is to know it. Second way to speak it. The third one I'm talking about is to open yourself to it. Right? Open yourself to God's love. Accept it. Stop resisting the love of God. Don't remain in your guilt. Don't remain in your condemnation. If you made a mistake, break out from that guilt already. God has forgiven you. Now, many of us are fighting the love of God. We still want to remain in the cycle of condemnation, the cycle of guilt, the cycle of defeat. Break out from it. Stop seeing yourself as the hated, the condemned, the guilty one, the one that is going to hell, the one that is struggling. Break out from it already. Right? Open yourself to the love of God. As God is loving you, let it enter. Allow yourself to receive it. Allow yourself to receive it. Next, because of our time, open yourself to it. After that, I'm going to say, love others too. I've addressed that. One of the ways to show that you are opening yourself to the love of God is that you are showing the same love to others. If God has loved you, you must show the same to others. So one of the major ways to respond to the love of God is that as you are learning the love, as you are speaking about it, as you are accepting it, you are showing that same kind of love to other people. Are you getting the point? Now, let me teach you this. I've said it many times, don't interpret love from, initially I was saying Nollywood and social media, but I want to add something else. Don't use the understanding of, don't interpret love from the lens of what you met in your family. Your father's love, your mother's love, is not the perfect way to explain love. If you try to love people the way your father has loved you, or your mother has loved you, or your siblings have loved you, we love them imperfectly. Love them as Christ has loved you. That's the secret. Because many of us can testify that we didn't have the best of love from our families. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Now, we don't have perfect families. We come from different families. Some of us can remember when your dad has refused to pay your school fees. I have a mentor of mine, when she got born again, the father was an idol worshiper. Fought very hard for her to stop going to church, and she insisted. And one day the father called her. He was in SS3. She wanted to ride WAEC. The father called her and brought out her WAEC fee. Say, this is your WAEC fee. And this is the amount. She said, Daddy, thank you. He said, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying this WAEC fee, this is supposed to be your WAEC fee, but I'm not going to give it to you. I'm going to use it to go and buy a generator. So that every day we'll start the generator, you'll remember that there was a time you would have written WAEC. Because you want to keep going to your church. And he bought a generator the next day. It's not empty threat. So every day that gen starts, lady remembers, I would have written WAEC. You know, that's the kind of love we have from homes. Parents are blessed. I get to the point. Imagine that's how you want to love your kids too. That when some of our parents, that's not the purse, have learned to force their will upon their kids. And until you do what they want you to do, they can go to any length. That's not how you love your kids. That's not how you love your kids. Now, they're doing it because they love you. I'm not saying they hate you. I'm saying they love you. That's why they're doing it. But they are not loving you perfectly as you should be loved. Are you following what I'm saying now? That's why I told you, I don't believe any parent can hate their kid. But I know some parents don't know how to show that they love their kids. So when you ask them, why are you forcing this child? They say, Onweyoma. Later on, she will appreciate it. You know, that kind of thing. That's how they interpret love. You can't use that. That's not how you love your neighbors. Love as Christ has loved you. The kind of love we learn from home in many of our homes. Your dad can call you and say, you see this person, stop talking to him. He's not our friend. That's not the kind of love we see in Christ Jesus. Are you following the point? The kind of love we have from home is that when you do good, you are your daddy's favorite. When you do badly, you are not your daddy's favorite anymore. But that's not the kind of love we find in Christ. That love is constant. That's the same way you love others. Are you following me, friends? So the way to respond to that love is that you love others the same way he has loved you. Are you still here? So you love others the same way he has loved you. What next? Open yourself up to his discipline. That's another way to respond to his love. I talked about this on Thursday. I won't go over it again. I told you one of the ways God shows that he loves us is that he disciplines us. Why are you on Thursday? And I explained that discipline to us. I explained, you know, one of the ways he disciplines. There are three ways God disciplines. Do you remember? What are the three ways? Number one, his word. Number two, His spirit. Number three, the church and the leadership. That's the three ways. God doesn't. So when I say open yourself to God's discipline, I'm not saying accept sickness in your life. Sickness is not God's discipline. If you're not here on Thursday, get that teaching. It will change you. So accept his discipline. What that means is, one of the ways to respond to God's love is, when correction comes from your Bible study, or from your spirit man, or from your church leaders, accept it. Whenever God corrects you, he's loving you. Whenever you come to church and we say, you came late, don't try it again. That is God loving you. Whenever we say, oh, we don't like how you're dressing, you're looking a bit indecent today. That is God loving you. When people reject God's correction that comes from the church, that comes from the Bible, when they reject it, they are rejecting the love of God. And that's a wrong posture towards God's love. Because one major proof of God's love is his discipline. We saw that on Thursday. Are you getting the point? The Bible says, if God has never disciplined you, if you have never been corrected through your Bible, you've never been corrected through the inward witness, you've never been corrected by your church leaders, we doubt if you are born again. Because every father corrects their children. Are you following me this morning? Every father corrects their children. So how else do I respond to the love of God? Open yourself up to his discipline and his correction. Next, how else do you respond to the love of God? Operate, the way I put it in my notes, I said, operate from the perspective of a loved man. Yeah, that's how I put it in my notes. What that means is, as you get to pray, pray like someone that is loved. As you're expecting, and I've explained this many times, don't come to prayer and you are expecting that things may not go as you planned. Things will go as you planned. Why? Because you are the loved man. There's a mindset a man that knows that God has loved him carries in prayer. There's a mindset you carry in your expectation. That's why we can say there are 1,000 people applying for a job and they need only 5 people. Some of us, once we hear this, we already disqualify ourselves. Ah, 1,000, 5 people. It's not me. Make I begin find another job. But I gave an illustration that day. Let me remind you of that illustration. I gave this illustration. If we need 1,000 people for a job, maybe a company. So we need 5 people rather. And 1,000 people applied. But then it happens that your husband that loves you so much is the general manager of that company. That's why he's in charge of the employment. Do you think you will get the job? Huh? How sure are you that you get the job? Why are you so sure you get the job? Because the one that loves you is in charge of the process. That's how to expect things from life. That even if there are 1,000 people going for something, my lover is the one running the process. I get to the point. Are you following me now? If you are in captivity, there were 5 people captured, right? And then the police comes to rescue. And as they were done, they came to rescue, but there are only 2 spaces in their vehicle to carry people. But one of the leader of that troop that came to rescue is your father. Are you scared that he will carry you or not? I get the point. That's why when it has to do with danger, we're not afraid because God is our preservation. So we're not afraid that he will leave us in trouble. Because he loves us, he will come through. It's what following me this morning. That's how you expect things from life. I'm telling you. That's why I expect the best. So why do you think of all people on earth is you that God will do it for? Well, because he loves me. Are you saying he doesn't love all of us? Well, I don't know the agreement you have with him. I know that he loves me and he knows that he loves me. We both know that we are in love. So whatever a lover will do for the loved one, he will do for me. Now that's the mindset you run this life with. That he will give you the best because he loves you. Hallelujah. Are you following me? That's why when you run with that mindset, you don't commit sin and then run away from the church. They say, why are you not coming to church? I say, church. Okay. No, they can't. I beg, I don't too commit. I don't feel they go to church. It's because you're not still thinking like a loved man. Because if you know that you have been loved, you know there are 2 kinds of wives in a home, or husband and marriages. There are people that if they carry their husband's car out and mistakenly keke scratch it, they will not go home. From there, they will go to their mother's house because they know that day they have died. Mother, there are other kind of wives that if keke scratch it, they will call the husband and start crying. Say, baby, that second part, they know that their husband, in fact, they know that when their husband shows up, the keke man is in trouble. That's two kinds of people in the relationship with God. There are some people, because they don't know how much God has loved them, when they do anything bad, they're no more church. No, they run away from God. They feel, we go back to God, consuming fire, consume my hair. Because, you know, they keep running. But another group, they know that God loves them. So when they go against him, when they do what he doesn't love, they can simply walk back to him and say, that is me. You know, there are two kinds of children like that in homes too. There are children that when they commit, they go sit down in their room. There are other children, especially last borns. If a last born, when they commit, not only will they come to you, they can turn it on to you, apologize to them. Now, I mean, they did something bad though. But when they now come and say, daddy, I'm sorry. You now say, okay. I've heard. Say, but you said the way you are now shouting at me. Well, you now apologize to them back. Last ones understand this love game. Not every last one, no. Ladies that are last one. Not boy. No. Guys, they know to. But girls, do you have a lady, a girl last born? How blessed are they? Ask your neighbor. You know, this church has many last borns. Like, if you're looking at this front seat, front row, many of them, all over the place. I don't know how all of you came around. Church of last born of the Lord Jesus. But if God knows that God loves you, you know that they carry that knowledge. So they don't run away from the Lord, from the Father. They come around. They say, daddy, I'm sorry. I didn't even know that cup was going to break. I was just, after you now, the Father will say, I've heard. When he broke, it even cut my finger. You know. Father now will say, it cut your finger. Have done anything to it? No, it's just paining. It's been bleeding. I've been trying to clean it. The blood is still coming out. Now, we have left the matter. We are now treating their wound. And now, it's not manipulation. Because fathers love it. The fathers even know what they're doing. But they're enjoying it. You know, every lover enjoys it when you enjoy his love. That's the truth. Just like wives that are like that. When last born married, they're like that. Say, baby, my eye. The husband knows that you are just. But he knows, but he's enjoying. The husband knows that you are just. He said, do you know, since morning, somebody have not eaten since morning. The husband knows in his mind, can't you go to the port and carry food? But he won't say it. Because somehow he's enjoying that thing. Am I speaking brothers? Not for real. He's enjoying the whole drama. That's why talking to the wives here, whether I last one or not, sometimes the tune is soft. They not every time. Giddy. You are drawing water from well, you are starting gen. Okay? Just sometimes just be soft. I don't know what you guys did this morning. I'm sometimes. Allow yourself to be loved. Sometimes do like you cannot do certain things. Are you following me? Not every time you are for me, you are carrying weight. I know you are strong. Just sometimes. Are you following me? Just sometimes say, hey, baby, my feet hurt. Can you massage it? I know you are not used to that kind of thing. Where you are coming from. But because sometimes you go, let them massage it. You will not die. Because everybody that loves expects that you should have a particular kind of response to his love. So that's why when you come to God and you say, Father, see your baby girl is not feeling fine today. He doesn't say, will you get out of my sight? he attends to you. That's why there are people, there are believers that know how to get love from, that get this from God. Because they know how to posture around his love. I get to the point. David was such a man. He could come to God. And he was the last born. Yes. Now for real, David was such a man, he was the last born. He just knew how to play around. You know, he sinned against God and he wrote Psalm 51. A whole psalm to tell God that he has sinned. Say, create in me a clean heart, renew the right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. God say, Lord, oh my son, I'm here. But there are people, when they think they've done wrong, they keep running away because they think they've not understood how much he loves them. Operate from that perspective. Expect from there. Pray from there. Relate with God from there. God loves you and you can do nothing about that. Are you following me? You can do nothing about it. Get into his love. Hallelujah. I'll make one more point for today and we close. Yes. You're surprised, right? And this point I'm about to make is actually what I want to teach today. Because what I've been doing all the while, I've talked about a lot of these things before. So just one more point. So the last way to respond to his love, at least for this series, is what I call very serious. I've not talked about this here before. Become his love slave. Now that's very serious. Love slave. I'm going to show you something that the Lord taught me in my study. That is something we call a love slave. You know who a slave is? Who is a slave? We might not be able to understand slavery. No, we can't, because but the only way we can understand slavery is if we watch movies or read books. Because there's no slavery again. So there is real slave where they come, they buy you. You belong to them. You know, in those days, if you wake up in the morning and you shoot your slave and your slave dies, they can't sue you to court. Because your slave is your property. The same way you bought your phone, you bought him. So slavery is a big deal. I get to the point. The same way you can just smash your phone, you can wake up and smash your slave. And nobody can say anything about that. In Exodus 21 and verse 1, I read this and the Lord spoke to me about being his love slave. He said, now these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. If thou buy an Hebrew servant, so he was telling them, if you buy a slave, and that slave happens to be a Jew, that's a fellow Israelite, if thou buy an Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve you. So Moses is telling them, if you buy a Hebrew slave, he can only serve you for 6 years. He can't serve you more than that. Because the seventh year, he should be free. Look at that. He says, shall he serve you? And in the seventh, he shall go out free for nothing. So he shall be free. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. So what it means is, if when he was coming in, you bought him alone, in the seventh year, he lives alone. If you are married, that's if he was married when you bought him. Because when you buy a slave and the slave is married, you also buy his wives and children together. Slavery is a terrible thing. I get to the point. He said, if you are married when you got him, the wife and children shall be the master's. Okay. If you are married, sorry, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master have given him a wife, that's, he wasn't married when he came, but the master gave him a wife in the process out of his benevolence. And the wife has given birth. When he goes free, he's going free alone. The wife and children remain. But see verse 5. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, and I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him unto the door and unto the doorpost. And his mother shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. So he's saying, at the seventh year, this Hebrew servant is free to go. But if he decides that I am not going, I love my master and I want to stay, the master should take him to the judges and they will pierce his ear. And that piercing of the ear is a proof that he has willingly submitted himself to become a slave to this man for life. This time, not because there's a chain on his neck, but because I love my master. This man has been so good to me. I want to serve him forever. Are you following me? Now, that is actually where God wants to bring us to. So a love slave is a person who has chosen, watch this, to remain a slave, not because he was bound, but because he has grown to love the person, and he now offers himself voluntarily to the service of the person. He is no longer a slave to the chains of his master, but is now a slave to the chains of love. Are you following me now? He is no longer there because his master will beat him. He has been granted freedom, but he has enjoyed so much love from the master, and he says there is no better place to go than to stay here, because this man has loved me so much. And that is actually what God wants to do. God is loving us so much that the right way, as we enjoy his love, he should bring us to a point where we willingly offer ourselves as his servants, because he has loved us. Let me show you something. Romans chapter 1 verse 1. We're going to do a little story here. Romans 1 verse 1. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, if you are there, I want you to open it. Very short read. We're not reading the whole thing. Just the first phrase there. Are you there? What did he say? Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Stay there. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. In Philippians 1 verse 1, the same thing. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. In Titus, okay, Philippians 1 verse 1 said, Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ. In Titus 1 verse 1, the same thing. Paul, a servant. Now, look at the point here. I want you to follow this. The word servant in the Greek used in that place is the word doulos. D-O-U-L-O-S. That's the Greek. D-O-U-L-O-S. Now, it means a bond servant. A slave, literally. That's why if you use NLT. Do you have NLT? Open your New Living Translation. What did it say? NLT said what? A slave of Jesus. He doesn't use servant. He uses slave. Now, there's another word for servant. There are other words for servant in the Bible. For instance, there's another word called diakonos. When Paul was talking about Phoebe, a servant of the church, that's diakonos. It means a minister. It's not the same thing as servant. The servant Paul is talking about here is slavery. So Paul calls himself a slave of Jesus. That's a big deal. Because in those days, slavery was in full force. Now he says he's a slave. Now that's a big deal coming from Paul. A man who has taught us in Galatians 5 verse 1 that we are free in Christ Jesus. Are you following me? We've been made free in Christ. This man preached freedom. He said we have been free in Christ. We should never get back into bondage. He now says that he's a slave. Now what does that tell you? Paul is a slave because he has offered himself voluntarily to do Christ's bidding because of how much God has loved him. So he's like that slave in Exodus 21 who has been made free but has seen so much love from his master and has offered himself to willingly slave for him all days of his life. That's where God's love wants to bring you to. Are you following me? To love you to a point that you willingly offer yourself. I'm speak like Paul. Paul is slave of Jesus. We must be such men too. Where we bind ourselves to do the Lord's bidding because we understand how much we have been loved and how much he loves us. Because of how much we love him. A man who has understood God's love is to eventually bring you to a point where that love becomes your prison. Where you are slaving for the Lord, doing ministry, not for money, not for things, but because he has loved me. Now, let me put it simply. It means bringing you to a point where you know, if I don't preach, God will not kill me. If I don't do ministry, he will still love me. Are you aware? If I don't serve him, he will still provide for me. You see, if I'm not a pastor today, I will still be rich. I don't know who taught you. People say this like, if God calls you, you don't answer the call. You'll be poor in life. That's not true. That's stupid theology. Are you getting the point? Whether you answer or not, God's love is constant. Now, I know all of this. It is coming to a point where you know that if I don't preach, nothing will happen. If I don't serve him, nothing will happen. But because of how much he has loved me, I've offered myself for this service. That's the right response to his love. Where the chains holding you are no longer the chains of religion, the chains of fear, the chains. You know, there are people that are bound to ministry today, but it's the chains of fear putting them there. Chains of religion. If you don't serve God now, he will cut off your head. I mean, where you are bound to ministry, but it's no longer by the chains of fear, chains of religion. Are you getting the point? Or chains of threats. It's now the chain of his love. He has loved me so much, I will bind myself to serve him forever. Paul, a slave of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you still here? So as he's loving you unconditionally, you are serving him with reckless abandon. So in my note I said, so even though I know that he will not kill me if I do not do his bidding, I will do his bidding because his love has imprisoned me. I get to the point. Even though I know that he loves me so much unconditionally, he has set me free. If I won't serve, I say I'm not going to go to church again. God still loves me. Well, that is true. But if you are still talking like that, you've not yet understood the love. If you understand that love, you will understand it to a point that that love becomes what pulls you. You know, the picture the Lord showed me in the spirit. Thank you, Lord. Have you ever seen a movie where they are transporting slaves? Have you? How are they transported? You chain them. Either on their feet or on their waist. So you chain them and you tie that chain to another person and you are pulling them. God wants to bring you to a point where you are being pulled to do his will, but not by the chains of fear or religion, but by the chains of his love. Where it is his love pulling you. When people say, why are you doing all of these things? Are you afraid of dying? No. Are you afraid of going to hell? No. So why are you doing it? Because he has loved me so much. So that chain has, that love has become my chains. That's what Paul is saying. He said, I'm a slave of Jesus. Are you following me? Until that happens, you've not yet started understanding his love. You see, I show up in church every day. I go out to preach the gospel. Not because somebody's going to pay me. Yes. Not because there's any payment anywhere. I've kept saying, I believe that one day we'll get to a point in this church where we'll start paying pastors. We'll do it one day. But at the moment, myself, no pastor here is under any one naira salary. And we must keep going, serving him. Not because if we don't do it, he will beat us. Now, if you are serving God because of fear, let me liberate you. If you don't serve God, he will not kill you. He loves you. If you say you're not called for evangelism, in fact, you might miss evangelism this week and receive a big contract that same week. God will not deny your contract because you stop serving. Are you following me? Yes. But becoming a love slave is knowing that, yes, I am free, but I've bound myself to this slavery because of his love. And I'm talking about ministry here. I'm talking about tying yourself to the cause of this work. Tie yourself to the cause of this work. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, a man who has understood God's love must think like a slave. You know how a slave thinks? A slave has no other option. You wake up in the morning and ask the slave, what is the agenda for today? His question is going to be, what is my master's agenda for today? Your master can wake up tomorrow and say, I want you to go and clear that bush. Tomorrow, I want you to transport these goods to the other village. You are there to do his bidding. That's what slavery looked like those days. And yet, Moses was saying that there are some men that will be set free. They will refuse to go. Because even though they are doing their master's bidding, their master has shown them so much love in the process that it no longer looks like slavery. Is someone following me this morning? So they've offered themselves willingly for his work. That's where God wants. That's where his love wants to bring you to. They understand his love to the point that you know that I'm going to do this. not because I'm afraid of God, not because he's going to kill me, not because he's going to take away my life, not because I will fail in life if I don't do it, but because his love has bound me. So you've become a love slave. Let me show you one more thing this morning before we begin to close. Ephesians 3 verse 1. Everybody, I want you to part. I want you to open that. We've been reading it before, but I'd like you to notice something this morning. Are you there? I'll give you a minute or 30 seconds. Ephesians 3 verse 1. Until you begin to do ministry with that perspective, you know you're already in ministry. So Paul is saying, I'm a slave of Jesus. Paul, you that said we are free in Christ, how dare you? Somebody said, I'm not a slave in Jesus' name. But Paul said he's a slave. Now, that's slavery. So look at how the Lord explained to me. I'm coming to that. It's like you are in prison, but the prison doors are open. The chains are broken, but you have kept yourself there because the prison is not a prison anymore. So you're no longer imprisoned by the chains. You're imprisoned by the love. Ephesians 3 verse 1, are you there? Read it to me, everybody. What did Paul call himself? A prisoner. Chapter 4 verse 1. Read it again. Therefore, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Is it clear? 2 Timothy 1 verse 8. 2 Timothy 1 verse 8. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'll wait for you to get it too. Are you there now? Let's go together. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, or nor of me, his prisoner. So Paul calls him God's prisoner. Finally, Philemon 1 verse 1 and Philemon 1 verse 9. Well, Philemon has one chapter. So Philemon verse 1 and Philemon verse 9. Are you in Philemon? Verse 1, what did he say? Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Verse 9, what did he say? Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul, the aged, and now also. Now, pay attention. If Paul has said, I'm a prisoner for Jesus, that would have also been good. What it means is that he is in prison because of Jesus. That's not what he's saying. That's what many of us have read that verse to mean. That Paul is talking that way because he was in prison. He didn't write all those letters from prison. So Paul didn't call himself a prisoner for Jesus. What did he call himself? Of. You know, there are two different things. Eh? If I am in prison for this reason, it means that person is the reason I've been put. So I'm in a physical prison for this purpose. But if I say I'm a prisoner of, it means that, now hear this, that Jesus is the one that imprisoned me. Are you still here? He didn't say I'm a prisoner for Christ. He said I'm a prisoner of Christ. So he was not referring to his physical prison. He was talking about a certain prison that love has put him into. Are you following me? A prisoner of Christ. Not just that he's in prison for Christ. So Christ is the one that imprisoned him. Just that in this case, Paul offered himself willingly to that prison. You know what the Lord showed me last night when I was studying? The Lord said, this part of the things that I wanted you people to see with the miracle of Paul and Silas in the prison. How that the prison doors opened, their chains were broken, but they didn't run away. So the prison we are in, the doors are not shut. There are no chains holding us. We can walk away if we want to. But Paul said, me, I'm a prisoner of Jesus. In this prison, he didn't shut the doors. He didn't say, if you leave me, I'll cut off your head. He didn't put guards to watch me. The doors are open, but I'm here willingly in this prison, doing his bidding alone. Because of how much he has loved me. That's where ministry wants to bring you. That's where his love wants to bring you to. So love that has not produced this willing service is a love you've not fully understood. So God wants to love us. So in my note I said, Christ is the prisoner. But Paul offered himself to this prison willingly. So I'm in this prison. The jailer is Christ. But the door is not locked. I am therefore free to get out. But I have chosen to stay. You see this call of ministry? We can refuse to do it. You see, tomorrow you can refuse to preach. We can say you should serve in the department and you refuse. God will not do anything to you. But God wants you to know how much he has loved you. That love will keep you. He'll keep you. You will give yourself to his service as his slave. Where you understand his love. You know, in my note I said this. You know, during Easter we'll say this. We're going to say this again. You're going to hear this many times. During Easter we'll say, it wasn't the nails that kept Jesus on the cross. Are you aware? You know, it wasn't the nails that kept him on the cross. Nah. Jesus was so powerful. If he wanted to come down from that cross, he would have come down. He only stayed in that cross because he loved you. That's why. The man that walked on water could have spoken to the nails as you are piercing the nails. It will bend or maybe enter your own hand. So he stayed there for love. That same way, Paul is telling us, it wasn't the chains they put on me that kept me in the Roman prison. I could have run out from that prison if I wanted to go out. It is his love that kept me there. That same way, it should not be your pastor or money or anything that should keep you in the ministry. It should be because you have an understanding of his love and you are doing it for love's sake. Are you following me this morning? It shouldn't be because they will praise you that will keep you in the work of ministry. You don't show up in church. You don't go for evangelism because they're going to call you, they're going to give you a regimen. There should be another chain around your waist, which is the chain of his love. That's what Paul meant by the love of Christ constraineth us. It compels us. It has put us in some sort of chains. That even though we can run away, we've chosen to stay because he loves us so much. Hallelujah. That's why we do that song. Jesus, my love. I am captivated by the love that you gave. Despite all of my flaws, you still love me so. Jesus, my love. Until we get to this point, we've not yet responded well to his love. I get to the point. So there's a songwriter that said, God, you don't need me, but somehow you want me. Oh, how you love me.
Somehow that frees me to take my hands off of my life and away it should go.
That's the response. He loves you so much, he should bring you to a point where you say, God, fine, just your bidding. You know, the confidence is, he loves me. The one I'm following will not allow me to get into trouble. So I'd rather be in his prison than to be free any other place. Oh yes. Because his prison is freedom. I'd rather be in his prison than to be in another place. Another place outside his bidding is a freedom I cannot afford. So we are free in Christ. Free from religion. Free from pain. Free from all of that. But we have brought ourselves willingly into another kind of bondage. I get the point. We become love slaves. Love slaves. Where we are giving all our money. They say, why are you giving all this money? What are they giving you? They say, nothing. Are they going to call you on high table when you give the money in that church? No. Are they going to celebrate you? No. Why are you doing it? I don't want anybody to know I'm doing it. I'm just giving it. Just what I want to do. Why? Because his love has imprisoned me. I cannot but do his bidding. That's where giving begins to count. Where giving is a function of how much God has loved me. That's where preaching, the evangelism begins to count. I'm not preaching because they're going to ask me, why did you come to evangelism? I'm stepping out every day because he has loved me so much, and that love has made it impossible for me not to step out. So I'm like that prisoner that my master has said, you can go do whatever you like. And I said to him, Lord, I don't want to do whatever I want. I want to do what you want me to do. So I'm going to be in this prison because your love is perfect. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That is commitment to ministry. Let me close with this. Do you know, I said this earlier. Do you know why many people travel abroad? They leave Nigeria and see people that are serving God seriously in Nigeria. They leave Nigeria and they stop serving God. Do you know why? The chain around their neck or their waist was poverty. Poverty was what was pulling them to church. I can see the point. Needs and wants was the chain around their neck, around their waist, pulling them to God. They were doing the Lord's bidding because they've been told that when you clean the sanctuary, God will clean your life. So they always show up to clean church. They are preaching every day because when you eat konu bi chineke, chineke konu bigi. You know that stuff. If you know, so it's just driven around needs and wants. When they now finally travel abroad and begin to see money, and they're not at that konu bi chineke, and yet they are eating. Do you get the point now? So you now find out they begin to lose fervency because the motivation was money. Some people travel and they stop being serious because the motivation was eye service. They wanted their pastor to see that they were serious. So now they've left the watch of their pastor. They're no longer serious. Some people are keeping themselves staying chaste and staying pure because they want to impress their pastor. That's the motivation. But when you grow in the love of God and you get to a point where you know, I can refuse to preach and God will not kill me. I can refuse to do this and God will still bless me. I can refuse to do evangelism and still close multi-million dollar deals. Even though I know I can, I have chosen to make myself a slave of his love. I get to the point. Doing his bidding alone, not because I can't, not because if I don't, he will kill me. The prison I've put myself into is the prison of his love. So Paul did not just say, I'm a prisoner for Jesus. He said, I'm a prisoner of Jesus. He didn't say, I'm a slave for Christ. He said, I'm a slave of Christ. That's where you need to get to. This morning, I feel it calls for us to renew our dedication and our commitment to his work. To say, you've loved me so much, I'll give myself for your bidding alone. Hallelujah. You love me so much, I give myself to your bidding alone. Thank you, Lord. Stand to your feet. God, you don't need me.
Somehow want me. Oh, how you love me. Somehow thou frees me to take my hands off of my life and away it should go.
Sing it again now.
Say, oh, God, you don't need me, but somehow you want me. Oh, how you love me. Somehow that frees me to open my hands up and give you control.
Take 1 minute and just say, Father, you're bidding alone. Your will, your way, what you want me to do. Yes. I want to walk with you. Not because you will consume me. Not because you will kill me. But because your love is perfect. So I give myself to your service. Just pray. Take 2 minutes and pray. I want you to use me for your glory. I want to do only what you want me to do. Because your will is the perfect place. Lord, I'm not in this for the gain. I'm not in this because you will prosper me. I want to walk with you, not because of anything, but because I know how much you've loved me. Take 2 minutes. Pray it. Thank you, Lord. Just pray, pray, pray. Don't stop.
And it is a thing most wonderful.
Just pray.
Almost wonderful to be
that God's own son
should come from heaven and die to save a child like me. And yet I know that it is true. He chose a poor and humble lot and wept and toiled and mourned and died for love of those who loved him not. I cannot tell how he could love a child so weak and full of sin. His love must be most wonderful if he could die my love to win. I sometimes think about the cross and shut my eyes and try to see the cruel nails and crown of thorns and Jesus crucified for me. But even could I see him die, I could but see a little part of that great love which like a fire is always burning in his heart. It is most wonderful to know his love for me is so free and sure. But it's more wonderful to see my love for him so faint and poor. And yet I want to love the Lord, who light the flame within my heart. And I will love thee more and more until I see thee as thou art. And yet I want to love thee, Lord. Oh, light the flame within my heart. And I will love thee more and more until I see thee as thou art. And yet I want to love thee, Lord. Oh, light the flame within my heart. And I will love thee more and more until I see thee as thou art. Let me hear you sing it. And yet I want and I will love thee more and more until I see thee as thou art.
Sing it again.
And yet I
want to love you, Lord. Oh, light a flame within my heart.
And I will love thee more and more until I see thee
two more times.
Love thee more and more until I see thee.
One last time. Yet I want to love thee.
I want to love you, Lord.
Light a flame within my heart.
And I will love thee.
I will love you more and more
until I see thee as thou art.
Just say, Lord, I just want to do your bidding. That's the only prayer today. How you want me to do it? Some of you, the Lord is asking us to give much more to our commitment. Not because of any other thing. Not because of what we will get. Not because we are bound by some sort of religion or by some sort of bondage that he will destroy us if we don't do it. But because we know that he has loved us. Whether there is money or not. Whether there is food or not. Whether there are chains in the physical or not. Whether there is prison or not. I've kept myself in this. We become like Paul and Silas in that prison. The chains have broken. The prison doors have opened. But we are staying there to prove to the jailer and to the prisoners that it wasn't their chains that kept us in the first place. It wasn't lack that kept me here. So even though there is now money, I will still be here to prove to everyone it wasn't lack that kept me in the service of the Lord. It was his love. Yes. It was his love. Now my pastor no longer monitoring me like he used to. But I'm going to stay following because it wasn't his love. It wasn't his monitoring that kept me in the first place. It was the love of Jesus. And yes, I want to love the Lord. Oh, light the flame within my heart. And I will love thee more and more. Until I see thee. It is a thing most wonderful. Almost wonderful to be. That God's own song should come from heaven. And die to save a child. And yet I know that it is true. He chose a poor and humble Lord. For love of those who loved him not. So we are praying. And yet I want to love the Lord. Father, light this flame within these hearts. That they will love you more and more. Until they see you as thou art. And yet we want to love you more. Father, light this flame within these hearts. That they will love you more and more. Until they see you as thou art. As a church, we want to love you, Lord. Father, light this flame within my heart. And I will love thee. I will love you more and more. Until I see thee as thou art. Until this love becomes our chain. Until like Paul we can say, the love has constrained us. The love has compelled us. The love is pulling us. The love is where we go. It's where we can't stop. It's where we can't stop giving. It's where we can't stop preaching. It's where we can't stop. And yet I want to love the Lord. Oh, light this flame within my heart. And I will love thee more and more. Until I see the eyes. Woo! Some of us have to make some fresh commitments to Jesus this morning. And I will love thee more and more. I'm still here, Lord. When the millions come, I want to show the world that it wasn't lack pulling me. And when lack even comes, I want to show the world that it wasn't because I had too much. It was his love that has captured my heart. That has been the pull and the push. When I'm in sickness, I want to show the world that I wasn't serving him for good health. And when I'm in perfect health, I want to show the world that it wasn't because I was sick that I was going. His love has become my chain. I'm in this prison. The chains are broken. The doors are opened. But it's still my prison because I've become a love slave of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, light the flame within my heart.
I will love you more and more until I see the earth.
There are pastors that have to say to the Lord, even if it is one member, I'll keep showing up for your bidding. Even if everybody goes, it wasn't the crowd that was keeping me. Even if all the members go, I'll still keep. Some of you have to say that to the Lord. Even if I do the crusades and only me show up, I'll still do your bidding. Even if I go to preach and nobody responds, I'm not going for their response. Their response is not the chain on my neck. The chain that has been put around my waist is an understanding of His love. Hey! Yes, we give and we expect supply. But we have to be able to say, even when I give my best and I get no harvest, in quotes, I will still give again, because the harvest was not the chain. The harvest is not what is pulling me towards the giving. His love has pulled me, and I can't do otherwise. It is what He wants. And yet I want to love the Lord. Hold somebody's stand by your side in this place. Oh, light the flame within our hearts, that we may love thee more and more. Until we see the eyes that were. Pray for that brother you're holding. Pray for that person you're holding. Pray for that one. May this understanding of God's love keep you. May this understanding keep you. May this understanding keep you. May that understanding keep you. And yet I want to love you, Lord. Oh, light the flame within my heart, and Henry will love thee more and more. In Christ alone, in Christ alone, my hope is found.
Woo!
Just pray for that person. We're going to sing that song later. Pray for that person with like one more minute. Pray from your heart. For that person, this one will stay. May the love of Jesus keep you. May it pull you. May it pull you. Woo. What depths of peace where fears are sealed, when troubles in my comforter. In Jesus' name. I'd like you to pick up your phone. If you don't have this hymn in your head, put it. We're going to sing it from our hearts. Join someone in Christ alone. The screen is not here today, at least for now, so we're going to walk. But I want us to be able to sing it. It's the first stanza, so we take it and we close. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, the solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace. When fears are stilled, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. We're going to see it. Are you ready?
Hallelujah.
Christ alone,
come on, let's go together.
My hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This corner
stone.
Just think about that.
The solid ground. Firm to the fiercest trial and storm. What heights of love. What depths of peace. When fears are sealed. When striving cease. My comforter. My only Lord, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who to confess, fullness of God in helpless pain, this gift righteousness scorned by the ones he came to save, till on the cross as Jesus died the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. He
last part is so powerful.
No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's best strife till final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No
no fear in death. Sing it again.
No guilt in life. No fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's best prize till final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell. No scheme of
person that mentored you, that brought you to church and brought you to Christ, is no longer serving God. That was not the chain that is on your neck. The chain is that love. Are you getting what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Even if there's no more money, money was not the chain that brought you. Oh yes, his love is what compels us.
No guilt in life. No fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life.
first day till final breath. Jesus commands my destiny.
Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever block me from his death till he returns or calls me home.
This is just the voices now. No guilt in life.
No guilt in life. No fear in death.
Let me hear your voice. Come on.
This is the power of Christ in me. From life as right till final breath. Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell. No scheme of man. And
of man.
No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever blot me from his death till he returns or calls me home.
Here in the power of God.
Here in the power of God.
One last time now. No power of hell.
No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever blot from his death till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand.
Touch your voice now.
No power of hell, no scheme of man pluck you from his hands till he returns or calls you home. Here in the power.
Can you sing it to your neighbor now?
No power of hell, no.
Look at the person. Eyeball to eyeball now.
Ever block you from his hands till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. We know we are always in his hands. We are not serving him because we are afraid. Just that his love has imprisoned us. And we can't do otherwise. Thank you, Lord. Are you blessed today? Such utterance and revelation we've enjoyed in this month. Can we lift our hands and just thank God? Just thank you for so much. For the blessing of this service. For the revelation. Thank him. Woo! Thank him, thank him, thank him, thank him. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank him, thank him, thank him, thank him.
Despite all of my flaws, you still love me so. Jesus, Jesus,
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Have your seats. Glory to God. I have to cut that stuff off if we continue. Glory to God. Is church not sweet? While I was sitting there, one of the things that came to my spirit to tell you before I came up, I feel you should just sit down this month, today, this week, and think of how much Has being a member of the church blessed you in any way? Think of from January till now. If you can point out some things that being a part of the church has done for you, write them down. Share with someone. Send it to me or put it on your Facebook platform. Just think about it. What has been? Because church is such a beautiful place. Yeah. Church is a beautiful place. Church is, in fact, is the wisdom of God. And I'm grateful for the church. You wouldn't have heard this in your head this morning if you're not in church. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We know you are blessed.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer requests, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.